for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, May the 26th, 2000. This is the afternoon ladies' meeting with Mildred Coffey from Millington, Tennessee, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for each lady that's here this afternoon. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Father, we come together now just to share the word. And Lord, you know the need in each heart and each life here this day. And Father, we come and we thank you for what you've already done this morning with us and taught us this morning. And now, Lord, we just ask you to give us hearing ears and seeing eyes and an understanding heart that we can receive your word, that the word can bring forth deliverance and healing in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for the name of Jesus and the authority that's in that name. And in that authority that you've given me, I bind principalities and powers and rulers and kings and thrones and dominions in the heavens. In the name of Jesus, I come in my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus, the third heaven, far above all the works of darkness. I bind Satan's power over this place in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you, Satan, and I tell you, you have no part in the lot here, and I command you to be gone. You will not torment nor harass nor give aid to any spirit in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to send angels in to cleanse this part of this building, and Father, to stand guard that when we get into deliverance, everything that is cast out will be bound and taken to the pit, and bound in the pit until the day of judgment. Father, I just thank you for the authority that you've given us. And you said in your word that binding works according to who we believe Jesus is and who Jesus is in our life and authority. And so, Father, we thank you for the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, I just give you praise, honor, and glory now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Dr. Noel was sharing on binding last night. You know, when we first got into deliverance 20 years ago, we didn't know anything about binding. We didn't know you could bind the spirit. And I tell you, I stayed up all night doing deliverance because I couldn't leave the girls and the women in the mess they were in until I got the spirits out. And when we learned about binding, we were excited because, and you know, you could bind them and get them back and they were okay. But I don't see people binding too much anymore, the spirits in people. But people, we've got authority, and you can bind spirits in you. Pain is a spirit. You know, everything that has a name is you can bind. And someone was talking about, I guess it was brother downstairs was talking about, I forgot what word he used, but he was talking about thoughts. Last time I was here, I taught on casting thoughts out. Does anybody remember that? And it works. It works. You can cast those thoughts out. You do not have to deal or keep those thoughts. Thoughts. What thought? Thought of whatever the thought is and say, and you know, you have a name. Lord taught me this on binding pain when I got under attack and had such severe pain. That's what I'd been going through last week when that demon said the demon didn't know I had been sick. I wasn't sick. I was just in pain. Woke me up at 2:30 in the morning with such pain in me that I was ready to scream until I recognized I was under attack, you know, when pain woke me up, and I began to bind. I just got up and walked the floor and bound pain in the name of Jesus and then began to break witchcraft curses that were loosed upon me. You know, I said that last night, that deliverance, most people, a lot of people say, well, I don't have, and I watch people in when I'm doing deliverance and say, well, I don't have any demons. That, you know, I just see that thought going through their mind, and they don't recognize us as even talking to them. But deliverance is so important to God's people so we can be free from the works of the enemy. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Then Acts 10:38 says, that he overcame oppression. I forgot how that reads. Let me go back to it. Acts 10:38 was one of my husband's favorite scriptures when he was teaching how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. See, oppression is of the devil. And people say, well, I'm under such depression, I'm so depressed. Well, depression is a name. Rebuke it and break the power of the enemy. Tell it, you know, Derek Prince has a prayer in some of his books where he says, talks about you're cleansed by the blood, you're redeemed by the blood, you're bought by the blood, you're justified by the blood, you're sanctified by the blood, you're washed in the blood, and therefore the devil has no part nor lot in your life. And because you are born again and washed by the blood of, in the blood of Jesus Christ, when the devil starts attacking you, attack him back with what the Word says, hey, I belong to God, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get your hands off of me in Jesus' name and get angry with him and tell him to leave. He has no right to you, that he's trespassing upon God's property. And you get out of this house, this is God's house, and you are trespassing in God's house. And every demon that has harassed us or come into us and brings oppression or depression or whatever he brings in, he has no right there. If you're born again, and if the Lord wills, tomorrow I'm going to share with you how to keep your deliverance. Because if you don't stand your ground after you've had deliverance, now hear this, if you don't hear anything else I say today, you stand your ground, and when the thought comes you didn't get anything, you come against it and said, the Word says I did, and you will not come back upon me. Because if you get in agreement with it, you let it back in, and what does the Word say? He brings seven worse than the first. And this is what's happening to a lot of people that seem to never get any better. They walk off. You know, the Bible tells us that we need two or three witnesses. And so we stand upon the Word in God's Word, but we forget that the devil does the same thing. Well, you went down there and you got deliverance. You don't look any different, somebody says. And you maybe rebuke them, or maybe you just ignore them. And then here comes another one, and so here's the second one comes by. And here comes another one that will say something to you, and the next thing he knows, he's got you believing it. Two or three witnesses. You've got to remember that everything God has, the devil has a counterfeit for. Okay, back to where I started to go, Isaiah 53. I don't know whether I ever told you, but that's where I want to go. We're going to look at rejection. I taught this in my church about 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. And just began to show the people in the church the fruit and the growth from rejection. How the things, once we've been, to begin with, rejection comes in many times. You go.
I'm okay.
Many times it comes in the womb. Rejection can, rejection is one side of schizophrenia. Rebellion is the other side. Rejection is one side of schizophrenia, and rebellion is the other side. And you see, when rejection comes in, what it does is it makes the person feel unloved. And you can't give or receive love, and just everything makes you feel like you're rejected. And I'll show you as we go on. And so I'm show you how it works. Rejection comes in first, and I'm going to show you this afternoon that the first rejection we feel, we have the very root of rejection is our rejecting God and His Word. And that opens the door. And our forefathers, the sins of our forefathers, how they rejected God. And that opens a door for it to come upon us. And then when the rejection is working in you and I, we get hurt. Why are they rejecting me? What did I do to deserve this? Why can't they love me? I haven't done anything. Well, I'll show them. Rebellion. I'll get even. Today, we're seeing kids in rebellion that have felt rejected and been conceived in rejection, and they're going out, oh, I'll show them. And they do everything they're big enough to do. And the enemy comes in, you know, also, and he steals their soul. Do you know the devil, the enemy steals a soul many times while the child is still in the womb. So, well, he, you know, how many of you, from your earliest walk with the Lord, you were taught that he restores my soul? But did you ever ask him why he restored it? Why did you need it restored? It's very simple, because you didn't have it all. Psalm 7:2 says that the soul was fragmented or torn in pieces when there was none to deliver. And the restoration of the soul is one of the most important parts of deliverance, because you've got to get all your soul back. And because, see, we're wanting to walk in the kingdom of God and be walking into the fullness of God, but we've got to have the soul restored. We've got to get it saved. See, we're saved, we're being saved, and we shall be saved. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I have all my soul. Well, I wasn't going to teach on this, Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. But I got a birthday in July. I'll be 73. Yeah, I'm really sorry. I need that. I need that because, you know, praise the Lord. But the thing is, when you begin to get older, people say, well, you know, all these things are supposed to happen to you. You know, you don't remember, and this, you're not as agile as you used to be. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. I cut my grass twice every week, and I have a big yard. And I can do anything that I set my mind to do. But the thing is, my point is that why can't people do it is because the enemy has stolen that part of their soul, and they need to get it back and get everything back that God put in them when he created them. And I say, Father, restore my soul, the one you put in me when you created me, and everything that the devil has put in the place of it, as you bring my soul back, remove from me what was put in place of it. I didn't mean to preach. I'm supposed to be teaching. But I'm telling you, people, we don't have to do it. We don't have to be crippled. We don't have to be old. We don't have to be forgetful. We don't have to end up. I tell you, God has given us authority. He's given us power. He's given us the Word. He's given us the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. He's given us the angels. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We have everything we need to walk in the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and to go become the overcomers he wants us to be. And we all come in that way. And let me tell you something. It's going to cost you everything you have. You've got to turn it all over to the Lord and give it to him. Because let me tell you, the more that you give to him, the more he gets back to you. And my whole point of saying that is you've got to stop walking in the things of the world and walk where God is. Brother, we've heard twice already to obey God. The God of this world has really tried to steal everything we've got, and he's done a real good job of it. So, having said that, I'm going back to rejection, because we need to really be delivered from rejection. In Isaiah 53, when Jesus said, we're talking about Jesus, he said in verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. I know that, you know, we all know these scriptures, but I want you to look at this one scripture right now and see that it tells us that Jesus was rejected for us so we don't have to be rejected. And, you know, when I was going through so much grief from losing my husband and even though she just lost a sister since my husband, I think, and I don't know who else in here has, but God just spoke to me and he said, I carried that grief upon the cross. And while I'm at it, in case I just don't get a chance to say it again, I'm going to say this. He also took our sicknesses before he even went to the cross. By the stripes upon his back, he took our sicknesses and our infirmities upon himself before he paid for our sins and our iniquities. With his shed blood upon the cross, he paid for our sins and iniquities. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, amen. Thank you. Okay. Let's stick with just rejection right now, okay? I know what you're saying, and you've got to come to the place where you're not offended by what the brother does. But as long as you've got the rejection in you, you will take offense. Every little thing will hurt you. I promise you, a look from someone, a word from someone, and they may not have even thought what you're thinking, but that rejection says, hey, they're rejecting you. Okay? But I want to show you. I have a lot of scripture, and I'm not going to have time. I may take the time. But I want you to see over in Samuel, 1 Samuel, I want to share something with you. And I told you that rejection comes from first having rejected God. Remember when the Israelites wanted a king? 1 Samuel chapter 8. And Samuel was so distraught. It's over in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4. He said, I think I'm in 8. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways, Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You know, a lot of times, when we're in meetings and God doesn't use us, we want to be used of the Lord, and we feel like, Lord, why are you giving all that? Do you ever think that? Why are you using them and not me? I want to be used, Lord. Pastors go through that. All people that are ministers go through that. And it's like they're rejecting me. Not really. There's however the Spirit of the Lord moves. That, you know, God, they call upon. Sometimes they don't really hear, maybe they may miss the Spirit, but most of the time, you know, they're walking, the leaders are listening to the Lord. But that rejection in a pastor, and most pastors will say, oh, no, I'm not rejected. I said it myself, I know. And I've been pastoring a long time, too. And I'm not lifting me up. God knows I'm on that from my church. I just wanted to quit everything. I really did. But the Lord's bringing me back, and I'm coming back twice as strong as I was. I'm mad at the devil. He went too far when he did that to my husband. But anyways, in verse 6 he said, but these things displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. You know, because Israel rejected God and wanted a king, look what happened to them. And, you know, when you and I reject and don't listen, maybe God's saying something to us that we don't really like, we don't want to do it, and if we don't obey him, we get in trouble. And Israel got in trouble. And over in verse 19, you can read the rest of this if you care to, but I don't have time for it. And he says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. And so God gave them a king. You know, sometimes God will give you what you ask for. What did he say? He sent them, gave them the desires of the heart, and sent them leanness of soul. And so let me tell you something. We need to really learn to listen to the voice of the Lord, okay? Over in Jeremiah chapter 8, I was sharing at the breakfast table this morning with Bill. Maybe it was Peggy, I can't remember who we were talking. And I said, you know, I get in people angry at me because I speak what the Word says. And I always say, hey, I didn't write this book. I'm just reading it. I didn't say this. God said it. God said, you know, he talked to us about our what we eat. And I believe that most of our sickness is, well, sickness comes from sin, but a lot of it comes from what we eat that God calls unclean. And my son knows how I feel about pork, you know, the swine. God says it's an unclean spirit. It's an unclean animal. And there's a lot of them. There's a different fish that are unclean. And there's what I think is a rabbit or the hare or whatever they call it. You must read it in the scriptures, what God calls unclean. He says you don't eat it. But my son knows this. And he loves barbecue. And he's sick all the time. And I told him, I said, those worms are just eating you up. You know, pork has worms in it. And I was telling my church this one time, and I was just sharing with them one morning, and they said, call the worms off of us, call the worms off of us. And so I started calling the worms off of them. They got deliverance, too. And then the scripture tells us not to eat fat. Okay, I'm getting away from my subject. Let's go to Jeremiah 8, verse 9 says, these men, these wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lord, they have rejected the word of the Lord and what wisdom is in them. Now, I want to show you, as I was reading this morning, I was looking at this, and I'll show you how when we begin to reject God's word, what happens. Let's read on with this. He said, therefore, will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them, for everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And that verse right there, we see adultery. He said, I've given the wives over to others. He said, and poverty comes in. He's taken their fields and given to others. And then he said, even the prophet and covetousness comes in. Because when we reject God's word and we see how God is blessing those that obey the word of God, maybe we don't know they're obeying the Lord, and maybe we haven't recognized that we not like what God said, and so we just went on and did what we wanted to do. You say, well, I never do that. Are you sure? And then let's go on, read another. And he says, well, they have healed the hurt of thy daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. See, there's also a need for healing when you reject the word of the Lord. Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. And the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs in the fig on the fig tree. And the leaves shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we still sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent. Therefore, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. You see, when we rebel against the word of God, we don't like what it says. Oh, I deal with people all the time. I don't care what the word says. I've done this all my life. And I said, well, it's not my business to convince you. I'm not your Holy Spirit. My job is, God gave me a direct order on this when he called me in the ministry. You go tell them. And they won't receive you. But when you tell them, their blood's not on your hands. And that's what I walk in. So I'm not afraid to say it. I make a lot of people mad at me. But it's not the people. Remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. It's the spirits, and people get angry. And so you've got to learn that. And I heard someone say at one of the pastor's conferences one time, deliverance people in deliverance really need a tough skin. And I thought, mine must be pretty tough. I've been called every name in the book. And some that's not even in the books, I don't think. Oh, my. But you know what? When the Lord called me into this, I said, Lord, I don't know anything about it. And the Lord called me into deliverance. I knew nothing about deliverance. I had seen spirits manifest, and I didn't know, you know, what to do with them when they manifested. But anyways, I said to the Lord, I saw the authority and the power of God work when spirit demons began to manifest. And I said, Lord, if you'll give me that kind of authority, and let me see this happen in my ministry, I'll do all I can, and I won't back away from it. And I've had demons tell me, you're all like a bulldog, you never give up. And if I hadn't, you know, do you want to know how long I've dealt with this woman in my church? You really don't want to know. At least 12 years. Took us forever to get her saved. And I'm still not sure she's saved. She still rebels. I love Susan. I want to just set her down the floor and stomp her sometimes, but I realize it's the spirit in her. But they think, oh dear, I forgot that tape. That's okay. But she came into the church. They brought her. She was hearing voices. And she'd been to all kinds of doctors and all kinds of treatment. And we had her several years. She always said, you know, we want to know if she's saved. You know, you ask people if they're saved. And see, I didn't know how to try a spirit back then, is like I know now. You know, you try a spirit, you never ask them a question they can answer yes or no to. You never, because they'll answer that and they can get away with it. But you always ask them, what did Jesus come for? He came to destroy the works of the devil. They don't want to tell you that. Well, where did he do that? On the cross. See, so this is the way you try a spirit. You try them with, make them tell you whether it's, you will know whether it's God's spirit or an evil spirit. So we were asking her if she was saved, and her mother said, oh, yes. And I should have known right then. Her mother was the one that was answering. And see, I was real brilliant back then, and I'm still real brilliant. But the thing that really had shown me that she wasn't saved was that she always talked about God, but never mentioned the Lord Jesus. Never. And two, in deliverance, when I'm sharing, teaching deliverance, I many times go, I did this last time I was here, I went through the plan of salvation to be sure everybody knew the Lord before I did deliverance. And you must be saved to receive deliverance. And the Lord spoke to me out of the mouth of a demon one Sunday morning, and you said, how did the Lord speak? And the Lord, it had to be the Lord. That demon must have been tell me this. He said, we almost had this blankety-blank girl, woman. Said, we almost had our soul, and they brought her here, and you've just about got her soul back. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, after the demon had said this, and said, you see, she didn't have enough soul to get her saved. She could not understand salvation. So it's imperative to get people's soul back so that they can understand the word. Hold your questions till later, would you? But we got her saved. She began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so then she rebelled, like, as I said, others have done so. But you see, when we reject, she was rejecting the word of God. And I knew she was, because when I would rebuke her about something or try to show her something, she would storm out of the church. And then she might miss a week, and she'd come back, you know, ready to go again. And I tell you, I enjoy fighting the devil. I enjoy getting on the floor wrestling with him. People say, man, I kick my shoes off and down I go. I tell you, I'm ready to fight. And I was wanting her free so bad, and I still do. But I want to, well, the Lord has to show me what to do with her. But anyways, have you rejected God? Let's go to 1 Samuel 15 again, back over in Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, when we reject the word of God, we get into rebellion. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, you know the story of Saul when God told him to go into the country and to destroy everything in the country. Remember, in the land, he didn't want them to save anything alive. You say, well, that sounded cruel. But, you know, God had a reason, a purpose in that. And that was because he wanted all of the Israelites not to be contaminated with the idolatry in there, all that was in the land, and he wanted them to destroy them, every part of it. Because God does not want mixture. And because they rebelled against the Lord, Saul rebelled. Of course, you know, he wasn't going to take blame for himself. But in verse 22, and Samuel said, "Has the Lord?" Saul told Samuel, "The king, the people wanted him to save the best of the herds and the cattle and all as an offering to God. God had already told him to destroy it all, and then he kept the king alive." And so Saul was blaming the people. And Samuel says, "Has the Lord so great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." See, Saul was king. Pride. He blamed the people for what he did, but God said to through Samuel that his rejecting God's word was as the sin of witchcraft. It's rebellion. Rebellion came in, and you know, our pride in us keeps us from obeying God's word, and really keeps us from hearing God. And when we disobey God's word, we get in trouble. And let me see where I want to go from that. Let's go to Psalms chapter 27. I started off by making the remark that sometimes we're people are rejected in the womb. I was sharing this in my church. I said, you know, I had every reason to be rejected. I was, I think I was the fifth in the baby in my family, child in my family, and I could think, well, back those days when I was born, what they needed was another child, you know, back during the Depression. And I'm afraid my father spoiled me rotten back then, but the Lord is still working to straighten me out, even at 70-something. But over in Psalms 27 and verse 10 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." If when a person's pregnant with a child, maybe it's not a time when they really, maybe it's not that they don't want a child, but maybe they're like they're newly married or something, and they want to get on and get prepared before they get pregnant. And then they come up pregnant, and these words, you know, pass between the husband and wife, and this baby hears and receives it. That spirit of rejection goes in. Think about today, children that are being born without under the curse of the bastard. Think about the rejection that's in those children. Think about all the things that they're coming into the world with. So rejection can enter into the womb. I started off with rejection God and his word, and then rejection from father and mother. And as I'm sharing, one of the reasons I'm going to a lot of several different things, if you have sensed this in your own life, begin to ask the Lord to show you how, what the rejection is, from whom it is from. And then when we go to do deliverance, we're going to break the curses of rejection over you, and then call out the spirits of rejection and the different things that are that came in with it. Okay? Ephesians 6, let's go to that. Ephesians talks about how a child is supposed to be brought forth. I shared on some of this when I was on that curse of incest, and that last time I was here, I think it was the last time I did, there were two tapes downstairs on abuse. And I deal with a lot of women that have been abused sexually. I minister, right now they're bringing women to me from the one of the missions in Memphis. They're street people. They're coming off the street. They've been, they have everything on them. But many, many times it starts from abuse in the family. from a brother or a father or a mother. There's sexual abuse, there's physical abuse, mental abuse, and verbal. You hear it too if you go into stores and you hear women yelling at the children. And I want to go there and say, you are cursing your child. You stupid thing, or you whatever they say. And I thought, oh God, help them. Because they are telling that child, and that child is going to receive all the words that they speak. That's why I said that the child can hear, spirit in that child in the womb hears what the parents say, and that rejection enters. And then when it's born, and when it's born into the world, it comes in rejected. And over in Ephesians in the 6th chapter, and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Today, children have very little respect for their parents, that it may be well with thee. Let's see. And thou may livest long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So the children, when they're abused, and I was going to touch on this because I'm not planning on teaching on abuse this time, but when they are abused, they as children, they cannot help themselves. They cannot protect themselves. And see, the abuser, the one that does the abusing, say it's a father. It's a father is supposed to show the child the love of God, the love of our Heavenly Father. And when they are abused like they are, mistreated, the child gets hurt and anger and frustration and hatred, and all this comes in, and wrath, and every kind of an evil spirit enters that child. And then if you look at what happens to them, there's no wonder And if that child has been abused, I didn't finish my first story, but if that child has been abused by a father or by a member of the family or whoever, a friend or whoever, that child, unless he's delivered from that abuse, the spirit in that child will draw abuse all through its life. That's why deliverance is so important, because you can free them from all of this. And so God meant to the father and the mother, and the word tells us children are gifts from the Lord, and it doesn't matter. I heard someone say something about they were a child and about a sinner child and about 12 or 13 kids. The children are blessings of the Lord, and somebody should pray for the Lord. So Lord help. But this is where you can imagine how the rejection comes in. Well, let's go to Hosea, okay? But father and mother, rejection from father and mother. If you weren't the favorite child, it's sad, but there are parents do have favorites. And the child that doesn't receive all the attention receives rejection. So over in Hosea in chapter 4, let's go with verse 1. It said, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. You know, today that's what the enemy is trying to do to our land. He's trying to destroy all the knowledge of God and to totally take truth out. And as he's doing this, our children are being destroyed. And I'm telling you something. If you will get free from rejection in you and break the curses of the sins of the forefathers of rejection, you can free your children and your grandchildren. If you will get free from yourself, you see, free from rejection yourself, because you see, it's got to be stopped somewhere. It's like abuse, incest has a 10-generation curse with it. Deuteronomy 23 tells us that in verse 3. Says it's a 10-generation curse in verse 2. Well, in 10 generations, how many years is that? 400. How many times has that been repeated? And so it's really a forever curse until someone stops it. And you can stop it. You can break it. You say, well, I never was abused. Well, I promise you, you're under a curse of incest. I don't care who you are, you're under a curse. Because somewhere in your background, this has happened. And when you take authority over it and you break the curse, you know, we have to confess the sins of our forefathers. Because the scripture tells us that we confess our sins and their sins. You say, well, they're already dead. That's okay. You still got to confess their sins and ask God forgiveness. You know, John 20:23 says, whosoever sins you remit are remitted, and whosoever sins you retain are retained. So we remit the sins of our forefathers and ask God to cleanse the bloodline so it doesn't continue on down the bloodline. And then we confess our own sins the same way. And so he's given us the authority and the right to come out from under all these curses if we'll do it. We get lazy sometimes, spiritually lazy, and don't do the things we know to do. But he tells us here that in Hosea, he said, I forgot where I stopped, so I'll start all over again. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophets also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Everybody knows that, don't they? Do you know all of it?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.